What I'd like to talk about today is found in Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like to continue on with this chapter. We've been talking about running the race for a couple weeks now. Been in Hebrews for several months. And how many times have you heard ministers preach about the faith and the cloud of witnesses and running the race, looking unto Jesus, and all that? A bunch of times, I'm sure. How many times have you heard a minister preach about chastisement? And I'm sure you've heard preachers talk about spare the rod, spoil the child, about disciplining your children. I'm sure you've heard some about that. But how much have you heard about the chastening rod of God? Let's read. Paul says in verse 5 of chapter 12, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." That was a few verses, six verses in the scriptures of Hebrews chapter 12. You know, when I was growing up, I always, when I heard the word chastening, and even as an older, even younger minister, I thought chastening was always a whooping. I always thought that that was what it was. And recently, upon doing a study of this word chastening, it encompasses the whole training of a child.
Right.
It is all the methods that are employed in that training. You know, when Hannah and Drew were little, I used to tell them, you know, I've got a lot of tools in my arsenal to help train you. And I said, sometimes one of the tools I use is that I speak to you sharply with a tougher tone of voice. One might be time out. One might be that I take something away from you. One may be where you don't get to do something that you really wanted to do. And if none of those work, then I'm going to break out the power tool. And it was a paddle that I had made. But every one of those methods that I employed in their training was, in effect, under the heading of chastisement. Okay? Now, when God chastises His children, He does it in, I think, three main ways. And I want us to remember this, and in this context, Paul's telling these Hebrews that they had forgotten some things. He says, you've forgotten about the exhortation that God's given and to you as His children. And one of the great ways that God had always disciplined and chastened Israel was that He withdrew His face. And sometimes He even, because of their idolatry, because of their unbelief, because of their not heeding to His commands and following His law, twice He put them in captivity. Now I want you to, I'm just going to tell the story. It's found in many different places, but Jeremiah, you can find this really, and especially in verse chapter 25 and in 51, but really it's the whole book talking about them going into captivity. And also Isaiah is the prophet to the northern 10 kingdoms, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel, that they were going to go into captivity to Babylon. Okay? Do you know why they were going into captivity to Babylon? For 490 years, they had not kept His Sabbath, Brother Jerry. And they had not followed what His law was. And do you know what the Sabbath is? The Sabbath day is a day of rest. So 6 days they were to work, and the seventh day they were supposed to rest from working. On the seventh year, they were supposed to let their land rest. Okay? And not till it. And for 490 years, these Israelites had not rested. They had not let their land rest, and they had not rested themselves. But they were employed in business and worked on the day, and they didn't listen to God. So God said, I'm going to cause Nebuchadrezzar to come down and to bring you into captivity because of your ways. And I'm going to use that nation to chastise you. He said, but I'm going to turn around and you're going to be in captivity with them for 70 years. Numbers mean something in the Bible. God will get what's due to Him. What's 490 divided by 7? 70. They were in captivity for 70 years. They weren't working any of the employed in their businesses any of those years. The land that they had rested for 70 years. God got His 70 years back. But is God long-suffering? Yes, He is. He gave them a lot of space to repent, and they didn't. So God used this nation, and let me teach you something about God this morning. God said, I'm going to use Babylon to chastise you, and after 70 years, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to chastise them. I'm going to punish them for chastising you because they exacted more than what I consider just punishment on you. He said, for the temple's sake. And for others, because they desecrated a temple. That was over and beyond the just punishment that God had for His children. And God punished Babylon for doing that. And He used Cyrus one of the generals of Persia to do it. Now that's just a history lesson, but that'll tell you something about God. God uses nations sometimes to chasten His people. Can we see that in history?
Absolutely.
Yes, we can. When God's people do not repent and don't turn from their wicked ways, and seek His face. Sometimes God uses natural things. And that's just in that part right there. I believe that's in, is it Deuteronomy? Is that where that is? If my people which are called by my name, is that in Deuteronomy 14? I get it mixed up. Maybe it's 7 and 14. Can't remember. It might be numbers. God uses pestilence sometimes. Did y'all know that? He uses great evils to bring about chastisement. That's another tactic that God uses, that He employs in the chastisement of His people. And there in that scripture that I tried to quote, He said, if I send pestilence upon the land, if I send a famine upon the land, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land.
Second Chronicles.
I had to write chapter and verse in the wrong book. Second Chronicles 7 and 14. I don't know why I keep thinking it's in Deuteronomy. I know that ain't right. He says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, is in verse 12, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That sounds to me like it's exactly chastisement. He says, if I do these things, God uses a lot of different tools and ways to chastise His people. But I think that God does, and He employs a lot of things. Sometimes it's pestilence and famine. Sometimes it's natural things like that. Sometimes it's nations to come in and to wake His people up and to teach them something. Sometimes, and I think by and large, this is the greatest reason or degree. Well, first, let me say this. Have any of you been chastised from God? If you haven't, you're an illegitimate child. You're not His. The Bible says if you're not chastised, then you're not His. He's very plain about it. And He uses a harsh word that we don't normally use today. But he says, if you're not receiving chastisement, you're not mine. Children, I want to tell you something. Parents, young parents, I want to tell you something. If you're not chastising your children, you don't love them very much.
That's right.
And children, if you get a whooping, or if you get corrected or trained, your parents love you dearly.
Amen.
They love you dearly. That's right, Jace. Sometimes you get a spanking and you need it because your mama loves you. That's exactly right. When I was young, I remember my father used to tell me before he whooped me, he'd say, "Son, this hurts me more than it hurts you." And I'm thinking, well, all you got to do is not do it. None of us will be hurt. But that was wrong. That was wrong thinking. And I didn't really understand it until afterward. It grieves the father to have to chastise his children. It grieves the mother to have to do that. So remember, if you're under the chastening rod of God, He loves you.
Right.
Now, the chastening rod of God, I think most of the, on a daily basis, the more frequent ways that God deals with us with His chastening rod is by the conscience. And remember, I want to say a few words about this. The conscience that we have, the natural man has a conscience. You know what conscience is? It means that you are aware of your surroundings. You know what's happening in the natural realm. You have consciousness of the wind blowing outside, the sun shining down on your skin, the voices you hear. It has to do with our senses, right? The things we see, the things we feel, the things we hear, the things we say, the things we smell. That is our awareness, right? That's our natural consciousness. And you can know, as a natural man, when you don't follow the laws of nature, the laws of men, the laws of society, you are conscious about that, whether you are doing good and following the law or whether you're not. But God, in the new birth, gives us a new consciousness. This new creature has a new awareness. He has an awareness of the spiritual realm. And in that spiritual realm, you're awakened to a whole other world.
Right.
Aren't you? And that world is called the kingdom of God.
Right.
And in this world, in this kingdom, in you as a child of the kingdom, you are chastised by God Almighty, and to bring you into subjection to Him. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I'm telling you that this new creature has a new awareness. And God deals with His sons using this new awareness. Mostly. This consciousness, this awareness that you have. Now, I tell you, there's a lot of scriptures, and one of them Brother Jerry brought up today. And this is a great example of this. When they brought that woman before Jesus that was taken in adultery, I mean, I'm guessing they took her straight from the act. And they brought her before Jesus. And Jesus, when they were accusing her, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. I don't know what he wrote. It don't matter what he wrote, or if it really did, we'd know about it. But all I know is that when Jesus come up, he says, "He who is without sin, let him first cast a stone at her." And what happened? They all were convicted in their own conscience, and they left from the eldest to the youngest. They were convicted in their conscience. Jesus made them realize that their hypocrisy, first of all, because of their own sinfulness, but he used their conscience to convict them of their sinfulness. That's the main reason that Jesus and God the Father chastises you and I, is by our new conscience. Have you ever done something that you knew wasn't right, and you did it anyway? You knew that God didn't like it, and you did it anyway, and you got beat up for it in your conscience, didn't you? That's a training that God uses for your new nature. That's a training that he uses for you to bring you into subjection to him. To teach you, this is not good. You ever heard the still small voice in there? In your heart, in your head? Have you been so disobedient and rebellious that you didn't care about what it said and did it anyway? And how long did your chastisement last? How long was it when you willingly disobey God and go that way? How long have you been under that chastening rod? And next time that you were in that situation, did you do the same thing again? Have you ever done it? I've done it. I've been that disobedient, and to be quite frank, I'm not apt to use this term much, but that's stupid. Isn't it? I know better, but I don't always do better. That's a chastening that God uses to train us to live according to his ways. Romans 2 and 15 says, talking about those that are without the law, talking about the Gentiles as opposed to the Jews. He says in verse 11, 2 and 11 of Romans, "For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." This is what I want. The parenthetical expression in the parentheses here. "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." Have you ever made a decision? And have you ever excused something that you've done because of the law? I mean, God's law, written in your heart. Have you ever done that? then you were following that law. Have you ever accused something or someone else by the law that was written in your heart? Then you were taking the chastisement and the consciousness that God has given you and applied it to your life. If you accuse or excuse something based on that law, then you are taking what God's given you and you're using it and applying it. Now, you don't want to excuse things that it condemns, right? You don't want, I'm going to say it again, you don't want to excuse something that that law condemns, right? You don't want to just turn your head and look the other way in your life or a decision that you've got to make, not taking heed to what the law says, that one that's written in your heart. And I want to say this while I'm talking about it. God's not going to put anything in your heart that is not confirmed by this book. I'm going to say it again, because that is a rampant thought in today's society for you to follow your heart. God will never put something in your heart that's not consistent with His Word. Okay? Y'all remember, you young ones especially, remember that, because people say it every day, follow your heart. No, don't follow your heart. Follow the Word. And if your heart's in line with that, you're okay.
Amen.
Now, he also says a lot about this. In Hebrews 2, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. See, he talks about all this. And other things, like neglecting the Word. And he says later on in James 4, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, what is that to him? It's sin. You ever knew to do good and didn't do it? That's a sin of omission. You omitted something that you should have done. And there are sins of commission, where you commit things that you knew you shouldn't have done. You see the difference? But both of them are sinful.
Right.
And you're chastised for both of those situations. Now, that's the second or third way that God brings chastisement upon His people. There is another way. And it's by the Scriptures themselves. Because remember, chastisement is not just a whooping. Remember, it's training. The whole training of a child. What did Paul say in 2 Timothy? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So it's God's Word. And is profitable. That means it's to your good, not to your detriment. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I want to say that this chastisement is common to all of God's children. But just as my children didn't get the exact same whoopings for the exact same thing, or chastisement, seemed like I didn't really have to spank one more than I did the other. But they were given to different things, Brother Jerry. You normally had to spank them for different things. Every child of God is going to be chastised for different reasons. And this chastisement, folks, it is part of our course that we've been talking about. It is part of our course in this life. And I want to point out some things that are pretty evident about chastisement. It's not joyous. It's not joyous to be under the chastening rod of God. It's not. It's grievous, Paul says. Especially if you're under the hot chastisement of God. He could talk to you, and in your conscience you might be convicted a little bit. But sometimes there's hot chastisement that comes, and it's not joyous at all. The Christian life is not one of ease and comfort, contrary to what the religious world will tell you. Can I get an amen on that? Because I know y'all know. The Christian life is not easy. If you're not being chastened, they won't tell you this. If you're, you know, if the health and wealth prosperity doctrine out there, there's no chastisement in that. They will never say that if you're chastened, that they, on the contrary, they say if you're chastened of God, then you just don't have the right amount of faith. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you're going to be chastened of God. And if you're not, you're illegitimate. It is not pleasant to be under the rod of chastisement. But why are we chastised? Why did my father chastise me? Because he had a way that he wanted me to walk. And when I didn't walk in that way, he had to help me remember where the way was. It was to show me that I'm in subjection to him. He's my father, and I need to respect him because he's doing this because he loves me. Now, we know that naturally, right? But let's put it in terms of God. When we're under the chastening rod of God and he's correcting us, he's doing it so that we would be in subjection to him and realize that he's doing these things for our good and take them patiently. That's what Peter says. Take it patiently. To recognize him as the authority and to reverence him in our life. It says that we revered our fathers. We gave them reverence, right? We've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Surely we can give reverence to God. And this is for our profit. This is another big point I want to make. This chastisement is for our profit. It's not just to bring us to the level that we were back up at. It's not just for us to level out, okay? Or to bring us back to our current level or our previous level of homeostasis. Y'all know what that is? That means everything's balanced out. That would not be profit, okay? That would just get you back with even Stephen. Okay, God does this so that we can increase. Okay, profit is increase, right? He doesn't give this so that we would just get back to where we were. He wants us to grow in grace.
Right.
Of course, in knowledge. Now, this is done that we might be partakers of his holiness. Yeah, that's amazing. God gives us chastisement so that we would be partakers of his holiness. couple times it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. How he took things patiently. You know, he came down here and learned obedience by the things which he suffered, right? You know what? I believe we can turn that around here and tell us, you're going to understand a little bit what it's like to be holy when you suffer chastisement. You might be a partaker of his holiness when you suffer. We could never suffer to the same intensity that Christ suffered. But we do suffer for his name's sake. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that? It's opposite almost, but it's parallel in comparison. How many times did you ever learn a lesson before the chastening? Think about your dad giving you a whooping. How many lessons did you ever learn before you got a whooping? Not me, much. Now, there were some times when I learned some lessons, maybe smaller ones before, and that I didn't have to get a whooping for. Maybe I saw somebody else get burned when they were playing around the fire and daddy told me not to, and I said, well, okay, that's good enough for me. I'm not going to do it. Okay? But most times, our learning only comes after the chastisement. The weight of chastisement brings about weakness in ourselves and others. That's why he tells us this. Wherefore, well, after the chastening, what happens? After you learn the lesson, what happens? Afterward, it yieldeth when you finally come into subjection to your Father and you're broken. What happens then? It yields that peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby or trained thereby. You ever felt that peace? That is the peace that passes all understanding. I've felt it. I know what that feels like. And then he says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You know, everybody doesn't come under chastisement at the same time and for the same thing, do they? He says that when you are chastised, you're going to be weak. You're going to be despondent. I mean, how many people are happy while they're getting a whooping? I'm almost done. How many people are happy when they're getting a whooping? If you were watching your brother get a whooping, did that make you happy? Did that make you happy? That's what the Apostle Paul is guarding against right here. He's admonishing God's people to not kick your brother or sister down when they're being chastised of God. But you lift them up. You strengthen their hands and their feeble knees. Don't kick them when they're down. That's not becoming of a child of God. Just like it's not becoming of a natural child to be snickering and laughing at a brother that got a whooping. Or sister that got a whooping. We can see this. And I want us to be very careful. Whenever we see someone under the rod of chastisement. You know, one of the most difficult, intense chastisements that there ever was Job. And why do you think those comforters are called miserable? because they told him a lot of things, but they didn't apply them right. He told them a lot of good things, but it wasn't applied right. They said, there's something got to be wrong with you, Job. There's something got to be wrong with you. He said, I ain't done nothing. And he hadn't. And it drove him to the point where he wanted to stand before God and plead his case. And you all know how that turned out. If you don't, go read Job. Let's not be miserable comforters. I want to caution you, if someone is under that kind of rod or in some kind of affliction, love on them. Strengthen their hands. Don't kick them when they're down. Don't kick them when they're down. And if you're going under some chastisement today, I want you to know that your pastor might not be able to help you through it, but I might be able to help you strengthen you if you're under chastisement. If it's not me, seek someone else out in among the body that can help lift you up and strengthen your hands, because you might not need a preacher to tell you scriptures. You might just need someone to talk to. But remember, if you're under chastisement, it is something that you are going to have to bear alone. And it is for you. It's not for your friend. It's for you. May the Lord bless you all this week. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. Should any have that desire. I pray that God walks with you and you walk with God.